Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Zayin. Yesterday we began the 8th parak of Masechta Shabbos. We read the Mishnah about how much of different types of liquids a person is chayiv for carrying out. So we're going to get into a discussion today about meziga of wine, about dilution of wine in order to make wine drinkable and to get to the shir of Revius. And that's going to lead us into a discussion of the relationship between Revius and Kezayis. Kezayis is of course a dry measure, whereas Revius is a liquid measure. And then we're going to discuss the spellings of different words, whether it's spelled with an ayin or spelled with an aleph. And we're going to discuss things that we can get into some agadata and amud beis about things, ironic things in nature, where there are five things that that the larger items are more are scared of the smaller creatures. And then there are going to be six questions, agadata related questions. Rabbi Zera asks Rabbi Huda, and the daf is going to conclude with the etymology of many words to try to figure out how the words got there, came to be called what they're called. And so let's begin now at the Gemara and Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. So we said in the Mishnah that how much wine does a person have to carry in order to be chayiv for carrying wine in Shabbos? Kedei mezigas hakos. So says the Gemara Tana, kedei mezigas kos yafa. It means kedei mezigas kos yafa. So my kos yafa. What does that mean? That it should be a nice kos. So the amount that you need to be mozeg a nice kos. Kos shel bracha. It means the amount that's necessary for kos shel bracha. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, kos shel bracha tzarech sheyeh bo rova revius kedei sheyimzegenu v'yamud al revius. A kos shel bracha typically needs a quarter of a revius halug of wine, so that when you dilute it, you'll have a full revius halug of wine. Meaning you dilute it with three parts water, one part wine. So if you have a quarter of a revius halug of wine, that's going to be enough to make you a revius, which is what you need for a kos shel bracha. That's one of the things that are required for a kos shel bracha. If you look at Rashi, kos shel bracha birchas hamazon shetzrichu chacham liaposo. A kos shel bracha for birchas hamazon, let's say, that the chacham require that it be beautiful. Kedarmin bebrachos itur v'ituv hadacho shtifa chai umalei. That there are a whole bunch of different requirements that we have for a kos shel bracha. It's interesting that Rashi only quotes six requirements. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Aleph that he's quoting says that there are Saradvarim that are enamored with kosher brachas. Why he said these six and not the other four is a good question. I'm not sure what the answer is, but Rashi is perhaps just giving examples of things that are required for kosher bracha. Tulsa over here is a little bit bothered in Dibra Maska Kadeshim Zagenu, the Amar al-Ravias, says, Mashmet, the Koshal Bracha Ton Meziga, sounds like a Koshal Bracha requires dilution. Chem Perk Shal Shachu, Amar Rav Yosef Rechanina, Modim Chacham Nerablazer, Bekoshal Bracha Shein Vrachim Alav, Ad Shei Yitin L'tocha Mayim. And certainly that's the implication of the Gemara and Brachas as well, that you need to first dilute it with water if you want to use something for a Koshal Bracha. But here's the problem. V'tema, the Besov Perk Shal Shachu, the same Gemara Rashi just quoted, that we just saw Rashi quoted, Amru Asara Dvarim Nemru B'Koshal Bracha. It gives 10 requirements that you have to have for a Koshal Bracha, and it's listing 10 different things, so you think this is an exhaustive list of all the different requirements of Koshal Bracha. Hadacha, you need Ushtifa, Chai, Umale, and goes through a whole list of things that you need for a Koshal Bracha. Alma, Chai Be'in, and one of the things on the list is Chai. Chai sounds like it needs to be undiluted. Chai means undiluted wine. So Alma Chai Bi'inan. So how can we say over here that you need Meziga? Right, Rashi gave a partial list of the 10 things that are needed. And he didn't, even on his partial list, he included Chai. But what are you going to do with Chai? It's against our Gemara. So it says, tells me, Hasan Pirish Bekuntros, Deloshie Chai Kshemavarchan Alav, Ela Denosno Chai Bekos Shemavarchan Bo, Lafuke Shloim Zigenu Vietnenu Bekos Shel Bracha. So Rashi says, yeah, it's got to be both. It has to, there are different stages in Koshel Bracha where it needs to be, for every Koshel Bracha, it needs to be at some point Chai, and then at some point Mazug. When you first pour it into the kos, you have to pour it in undiluted, and then you're supposed to dilute it in the kos. As opposed to, you should not dilute a large amount of wine and then pour diluted wine into your kos. You have to dilute it cup by cup as you're having it in a Koshel Bracha. That's part of the procedure of Koshel Bracha. Perhaps it shows chashivus when you're dafka diluting it for this kos, and that's what makes it a chashva koshal bracha according to Rashi. But Rabbi Natan Farish, the Chayduka Amar, Hainu Mazik Velo Mazik. the mikri chai kedamim perik ben sarah ad sheyachot hatimar basar v'yishte yayin chai umukila hasam b'mazik v'lo mazik. He says chai doesn't necessarily mean completely undiluted. It could just mean partially diluted. Very similar to what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that a ben sarah mora is only going to become ben sarah mora if he drank yayin chai. But the Gemara over there says it doesn't mean that he drinks undiluted wine that's undrinkable. It means he drinks mazik v'lo mazik. So maybe that way it's not a stira. Birchsa aretz, and then when you get to birchsa aretz, most of mayimachay mazik karotli. So at first it should be partially diluted. Then when you get to the birchsa aretz, part of birchsa mazon, you add in a little more water. K'dam perk shol shachul shemosik birchsa aretz v'lo kamo shapir shem b'kutcha shemosik yayin birchsa aretz. Not like Rashi says they add more wine at birchsa aretz. He says no, mazik birchsa aretz means you finish the dilution at birchsa aretz. However, b'nei narvuna mefarshim dechay kai akos. The b'nei narvuna say, no, neither Rashi nor Rabbeinu Tam is correct. The stira between chay and mazug is a very simply not a stira at all. Mazug is a reference to the wine. Chay, that is a reference to 10 requirements in a kos shel bracha. Notice Gemara and Brachos didn't say 10 requirements in the wine of a kos shel bracha. It said 10 requirements in the kos itself. So chai is din in the kos shetzorek sheyesh shalem. It's another way of saying that the kos has to be shalem. It can't be dented. It can't be broken. For a kos shel bracha, you should have a nice kos. That's the halach anyway. You're not supposed to have a broken kos or a dented kos for a kos shel bracha. Vasi shapir to kolos and dvarim dechash vasi mavi kulu bekos v'lo b'yayin. He says, look at the other nine things on the list. They're all about the coast. None of them are about the yayin. V'chiyai gavnu perik basa demakos v'yisik tasmolim v'echon chai tainu shalem v'afilu meis chashav beria k'dam b'sof perikid anashe. The Gemara Makos, when it talks about a beria, calls it a chai. It doesn't have to be alive in order to for something to be a problem of beria. The fact that if you eat pachos mikshir but the item is a beria, it's a complete entity, that you're going to be chayiv, let's say, on a bug, if you eat a complete bug. So it doesn't have to be alive in order to be chayiv on a complete bug. It could be dead. You're still chai for eating it. It's still a beria, but we call it chai because we refer to chai to dover shalem as chai. So again, Tosfos bothered by a stira. How can we say that koshal bracha needs to be diluted? The Gemara in Bracha says one of the requirements of koshal bracha is that it has to be chai. So three approaches. We have Rashi that you have to pour it into the kos chai and then dilute it later, and then dilute it afterwards. We have Tosfos that you pour it into the kos partially diluted and you finish the dilution in birchas haaretz, and the b'nei Narvona, that chai is not a reference to the wine at all. Chai is a reference to the kosher bracha, whereas the wine certainly should be diluted. The next Tosfos also v'yamar al ravias and should equal the ravias. So Tosfos raises the problem. V'afagav darmin bar v'psachim hamakadishim tam lo lugma yatsa lo lugma v'tvemi ravias. That in Arvi Psachim it sounds like that for a kosher bracha of kiddush you need a melo lugma, which we assume if you fill up your cheeks that's more than a ravias. K'demuch perik basar d'yuma. So how come over here we're saying you only need a ravias? See yeshlama de melo lugma de hasam lav dafka el k'deishi yisluku l'tzad echad v'yirik. So he says, first possible answer is that the melolugma that we talk about over there is not that you have to literally fill up your cheeks. It means that you should have enough liquid in your mouth that if you push it all to one side of your mouth, it looks like that side of the mouth is full. It looks like you have one cheek full. And that's less than a ravias. That's a rov ravias or whatever. That's not more than a ravias. Or it could just be, we're talking about kosher bracha in general over here, what the minimum requirements of kosher bracha. It could be certain types of koshal bracha, like for kiddush, for instance, may require more. May need more than just the revius. Maybe you taka do need a melolugma for certain types of koshal bracha. Okay, and the bottom line of ayin vavam beis amar Rava afana nami tanina. So Rava says, for we see it from our Mishnah also that the shear. Is the shear of wine is the amount that if you would mix it with water you would end up with a revius. How do we see that from our Mishnah? The Mishnah says hamotzi yayin kidei mezigas kos. It says if you take out wine the shear of mezigas kos v'tani ala kidei mezigas kos yafa. And the first thing we learned about that is what does mezigas kos mean? It means mezigas kos yafa v'katani seifa. And then it says in the seifa v'shar kol hamashkin b'revius that all other liquids have a shear of a revius. So presumably when we say Shomrim, Mezigas Kos Yafa, what we're trying to say is the amount that you would need to dilute wine, the amount of wine you would need, that when diluted, it would be a Revius, because Shar Kol Mashkin Revius, apparently that's the shear that's considered Chashuv when it comes to Mashkin. So that's how we know that Al Karchach, when we're Mesha'er Yayin, it's Kedei Mezigas Kol Shal Bracha, a shear that's Ra'ui for Shtias Revius, which is a Rova Revius of wine, when you mix with three parts of water, one part wine, will turn out to be a Revius. The Rava L'tame, and this is Rava L'shitaso. Da'ama Rava Kol Chamra Dol Dori Al Chad Plus Maya Lav Chamrahu. Rava says any time that you, any wine that you do not mix with 3/4 water, 1/4 wine, with a ratio of 3:1, water to wine, is not called wine. That's the definition of wine. Frek Tosos, but wait a second. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses how many members of the Sanhedrin, HaGadol Yishlaim, still need to be sitting there at all times. Even when certain members leave, you're never going to have all 70 or 71, Machlok Tanam, how many there are, either 70 or 71 judges, all there at the same time, always. So how many people still need to be there for the Sanhedrin to function? So the Gemara darshens the pasuk al yechsar hamazeg. It shouldn't be the Sanhedrin, the numbers of members of the Sanhedrin shouldn't be diluted, shouldn't be missing like the shear of the dilution of wine. So how much is that? So Gemara says 2/3 of them could be gone, as long as you have 1/3 of them left. You need a minimum of 23 judges there at all time. Meaning the Sanhedrin HaGadol could still function as long as they have the amount of people that you would have on a Sanhedrin HaKatan. As long as you have the amount of people that you would have on any normal Sanhedrin in any city, that would be Dan Dinei Nefashos. But how do we assume Mazag is? What do we assume Maziga is? 2/3 to 1/3. We don't assume it's 3/4 to 1/4. So Frek Tosos, Adam in Parakachadi the Mammon is Kabi Sanhedrin, Al Yechsar Mazag, Yimhutzra Chachamim Latzes, if someone needs to leave. As long as there are 23 judges that are still there, so someone could take a break. Tahainu shlish mi Sanhedrin. So mashman de meziga al chadrin makes it sound like dilution is a two to one ratio, not a 3:1 ratio. So omeriva de rava dafka hayemozik kemishpat meziga al chad tlas kadam rabazav. Maybe this is dafka rava's sheet. The rava holds that for his wine he dafka wanted a 3:1 ratio, like it says in Azav. That's Tafka, he talks about a personalized Meziga. That maybe most people in Echanami, their Meziga is a 2:1 ratio, his Meziga was a 3:1 ratio. Ubiketzan ma'abrin, dummy high Meziga, the Meziga de Rava Breder of Yosef Barchama. Aval Shara Olam Ha'ovim Yayin Chazak, Ein Mosgin Ella Al Chatrin. Maybe other people like stronger wine, and therefore they do a 2:1 ratio. Says Tosos Ve'in Nir Lari. It doesn't seem that that's correct. So if that's the case, then what's Abaye's kasha on Rava? We're about to see Abaye's two kashas on Rava. One of them is from a Mishnah in Nida. So why doesn't he just say that it's not a kasha on Rava? In Nida, when we talk about mezigos, we're talking about regular people's mezigos. Rava's talking about his own meziga. El nir l'rid dekra dal yechzer mazik biyayin ashironi bishum deleka lukmi lekra b'sta meziga davi revia the revia sanhed. He says, no, Al Yechzer HaMazik is talking about a different kind of wine. Normal wine is what Rava's talking about. 3:1 ratio is normal for regular wine. There is a special kind of wine called Yayin HaShironi, which is already pretty weak, and therefore doesn't need such significant dilution. A 2:1 ratio would suffice to dilute Yayin HaShironi. And that's how we darshan in the pasuk of Al Yechzer HaMazik to be talking about the Sanhedrin. Now, what gave us the tip, what tipped us that when we're darshaning the Sanhedrin, we should assume it's talking about, when we talk about a meziga of the Sanhedrin, we should assume it's talking about the Shironi wine and not the regular wine. How do we? So he says it's just logical, because there has to be the number of judges that have to be remaining on the Sanhedrin has to have some significance. If you were to take 1/4 of the Sanhedrin, so what? You'd have 17 judges, 18 judges, something like that. What does that mean? Where does 17 judges ever matter? Why would that number be meaningful at all? So it's more likely that when we say Al Yechzer HaMazik in relation to the Sanhedrin, it must be talking about a number of judges that means something to us. 23 is a meaningful number to us in the world of Sanhedrin, because that's the number of judges that you have in the Sanhedrin Ketana. So it's most logical that pasuk is about the Yayin HaShironi. So anyway, back in the Gemara, so Rav had said that the way we dilute wine is a 3-to-1 ratio. Amar Abayi, shtei tshuvos b'davar. Abayi says, I have two responses to you to reject your claim. Chado titnan v'amazug shnei chelkei mayim ve'echad yayim nene yayin ashironi. When the Gemara in Nida tries to figure out the different colors of red, what type of red is tameh, what type of red is not tameh. Nowadays we're machmir in all reds because we lost that expertise to be able to tell the difference. But they give very specific examples of exactly the shade of red. So one of the examples is mazug, the color of red wine that's diluted. How is it diluted? 2-to-1 ratio water to wine, minei yayin ashironi. So don't you see that it's a 2-to-1 ratio? Va'od mayim bekadu mitstarfin. And furthermore, if the reason of the for the Mishnah is that yayin, when you dilute it, it will be roy to drink, and then it will have a revius. But right now, when you're carrying it, it's not diluted. So there is no, the mayim is in the kad somewhere. You have water in a pitcher somewhere. It's not here. It's not where I'm carrying it. So how could that be mitzaref? Meaning, if the whole chashivus of a revius, of a quarter of a revius, is that that's how much you need to make a revius, well then it shouldn't be chashiv until you dilute it. You shouldn't be chayiv for carrying that amount on Shabbos until you actually dilute it and you actually make a revius. Abaye says it must be, therefore, that there's a different chashivus, that a quarter of a revius is highlighted in our Mishnah as being important, not because that's how much it takes to make a revius of yayin, but because that itself is its own shear. For whatever reason, it's chashav in its own right. So Amalei Rava, Rava responds to Abaye, Hadaka Amrit, Shnei Chalkei Mayim Ve'echad Yayin, Meni Yayin Ashironi, Yayin Ashironi L'chud, the Rafi. He says, you're right, when we say that Yayin Ashironi is a 2-to-1 ratio, I agree to you, Abaye. Yayin Hashironi is a 2-to-1 ratio. I'm talking about regular yayin. Stronger wine is a 3-to-1 ratio that you need water to wine. Inami hasu mishum chazusa aval time of bayitfei. Or another possibility of why of how I could respond to your kasha, Abaye, says Rava, is that when we're talking in Nida, we're not interested in how it tastes. We're interested in the appearance of the wine. In order for it to retain a certain type of appearance, the 2-to-1 ratio is good. But in order for it to have the taste that's necessary to be really good for a kos shel bracha, or to be really good in general, to taste delicious, so then by itfei you would need more water to get to that same shear for a kos. If you look at Rashi says inami hasam mishum chazusa nakatei unihi nami didari al chad tlas b'taima maris dam lohavi el b'shnei chalakim mayim ve'echad yayin. It's only going to look like blood if it's a 2-to-1 ratio. V'yav b'tfei dam hadomalo kedam yorok huvetahar. And if you were to put more, then it would be have a din of dam yorok, which would be tahar. The Gemara needs to tell, Mishnah needs to tell us that dam yorok, that green blood or yellowish blood, dam yorok doesn't really mean green. It means like a yellowish blood is considered to be tahar, is not considered to be a tameh color of blood. The Sefer Eshkol writes in the name of the Sheiltos that we're matir yorok ke'esev. That if it's green, mamish green, then it's for sure matir. And that's what the Sefer Eshkol himself says as well. He says we're only mitaher lavan and mine yarak, different types of yellow and white, those kinds of blood. And Shulchan Aruch in Yardeis and Kuf Pei Ches says that mare yarok afilu kamara shava v'zahav, that a yellowish color, even like wax or gold, is going to be tar. Certainly kiyarek ha'savim, certainly anything that's green is going to be tar. So this is a major question in poskim. What kinds of goldish colors? How much notalad mimus do you have to have? But it's all about colors over there. It's a din in color. It's not a din in taste. Our sugya is about taste. I asked my Talmidim one day last year in Yeshiva, how many halachas could they think of that relate to color? How many halachas do we have that relate to that? They came up with like 30 or something. It was unbelievable. I don't know. Was that... What?
Color.
For color war, right. We had it on the day of color war. Yeah. come up with halachas of color. So anyway, so this is a nida is the one that sticks out because that's one of the halachas of color that we're still knowing, obviously. With the kamer mayim bekadum it starfin leinian Shabbos midi dechashiv beinan vanami achashiv. And if you're going to ask how could it be mitstarif with the water that's in a pitcher somewhere, I'm not carrying the water out, I'm only carrying this quarter of a revius of wine. Yeah, we would still say that that we're measuring the wine by what's chashuv, and the amount of wine that you would need to make a nice cup, that's chashuv. If it's royal tzarif, that's what makes it. That's what makes it chashuv. The Taz in Aruch Chaim in Siman Reish Yud Sifkat Aleph brings a raya from here that if you that when you drink yayin saruf, if you drink that you make a bracha achrona even if you drink less than a revius. How does he get it from here? Because even though it doesn't have a revius over here, since it's roy limzog bo mayim ad revius, we say that it's chashuv. So he said, by yayin saruf, even when there's no revius, since it's roi limzog mayim, and you could drink a revius, and adraba, you can't drink a revius of. It's very difficult to drink a real revius of yayin saruf. So he says that's why it's already visavata when you drink even just a kazayis, when you drink less yayin saruf. That taz is what the Hasidic poskim all point to when they try to justify the minhag that people have of having pachos me revius of yayin saruf for kiddush. That when they make kiddush, they don't make kiddush. When they make kiddush on schnapps, they don't take a revius of schnapps. They have pachos merevius. They have little shot glasses of schnapps. They say just like the Taz says that that's considered a davar chashav legabe bracha achrona. So it's considered a davar chashav also legabe kol shel bracha. Rav Shechter pointed out in the name of the Kajuk Lover, I think that the Eretz Tzvi writes that. The Kajuk Lover Gon writes like that in his Tshuvas. Rav Shechter thought that maybe what the Taz was saying was that Yayin Saruf, the reason it's because Zayas, not Perevius, is not because it's so Chashav. The fact that it's Chashav is an indication, because Zayas is an indication of the fact that it doesn't have a din of a Mashke, that it has a din of a Meichel, meaning what makes something a Mashke is not if it's liquid or versus solid. What makes it a Mashke is something that you would drink as a drink when you're thirsty, when you know to help put the food down, when you're having something because you want you like the way it tastes, or you just want to feel a certain way. So maybe that would have a din of a meichel. If it has a din of a meichel, then you have another problem that you wouldn't be able to define it as chamar medina if it's a meichel. So maybe the shir would be a kazayis, but you wouldn't be allowed to use it for kiddush then for another reason, because it would have a din of food, it wouldn't have a din of a drink. So again, one of those issues that the chasidus shaposkim are meichel, the litvish shaposkim aren't. Okay, Tana yavesh b'kazayis, when you have dried out wine, so then the shear is kazayis if it's congealed. Divrei Rabbi Nassan, it's Rabbi Nassan shita. Amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Davar Echad. Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda both share the same idea that if you were to take something that in liquid measure is a revius and dry it, it would be a kazayis. Rabbi Nassan ada Amrin. Rabbi Nassan is what we just said when it came to wine. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, where do we find Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda say the same thing? Detanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shisha Dvar Mikul V'Yasham Imrichum V'Yisalel. There are six things that Beis Shammai is makel about Beis Hillel is machmir about. There are really more than six. Rashi points out it's just in Maseches Idios each of the Tanaim came and were made about certain things that they remembered. There was all Maseches Idios was learned in one day in Keren B'Yavne, and it's called Idios because everyone was made about things that halachas that they think might be forgotten that they happen to be aware of. So Rabbi Yehuda taught of six cases that he knew of that Beis Shammai was Mekel and Beis Hillel was Machmir, and one of them is Dam Nevela. We know Basar Nevela is Metame B'Kazayis. If you have a Kazayis of Basar Nevela, flesh of a Nevela, what about blood of a nevela? So Beis Shammai mitarin, Beis Hillel mitamin. Beis Shammai says tar, Beis Hillel says tamei. Omer Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, avkis shetum Beis Hillel altim al b'dam sheish bo revius. Even when we say that dam nevela is tameh, that's only if there's a revius of dam nevela. Why revius? Why do we care about revius? Because dam nevela has a din of basar nevela, is what Beis Hillel is trying to tell me. It's tameh just like basar nevela. The shear of basar nevela is a kazayis. So if you want to know the liquid equivalent of a kazayis, it's a revius. Because when you congeal a revius of dam, you'll end up with a kazayis of dam. This is how the Binyan Tzion in his Tshuvas and Chelakal of Sim Memtes is Miyashi Voldestiras in Shas. There are some Gemaras that tell us when you eat dam, you're only Chayv Berevius, and other Gemaras that tell us that when you eat, that's a Gemara in Yavam, Kuf Yudal, it says, when when you eat dam, you chayv eat dam of a revius of dam. In Krisos, it talks about chav beis talks about shir kezayis for eating dam. So that's what the Binyan Sion and the Rashash and others all point out, that maybe that's the difference. When you're having it in its liquefied state, so then the shir is a revius. When you have it in its congealed state, the shir is a kezayis. And according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it's the same shir. When you dehydrate it a little bit, when you congeal it a little bit, it will turn into a kezayis. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, no, it doesn't mean that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda necessarily agrees with Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan was talking about wine. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is talking about dam. Maybe they're different. Dilmalohi, adkan lo kam Rabbi Nassan ha-hacha d'bay revius ela b'yayin d'kolish, aval b'dam d'samich, kezayis lo b'y revius. Maybe, when does Rabbi Nassan say that in order to have a kezayis worth of wine, you need a revius, in its solid state, you would need a revius in its liquid state? That's by wine, which is very thin. But dam, which is much thicker to begin with, to have the equivalent of a kezayis of dam, maybe you don't need a revius in its liquefied state. Maybe you need even less than a revius would equal a kezayis when it comes to dam. Inami, or maybe the reverse. Ad kan lo kam revius revudas unto kezayis agilei berevius el bedam de samach aval yayin de kolish kezayis have a yosir merevius. Maybe that ratio of kezayis in its dry state to revius in its liquid state, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would say, is only true by dam, which is much thicker. But maybe by wine, to get the liquid equivalent of a kezayis, maybe you would need much more than a revius when it comes to yayin. V'chimapik pachos mikezayis l'chayiv. And therefore, if you take out congealed wine, even when you carry less than a kezayis, you should be chayiv, because the ratio maybe would be different with wine than it would be with water. Good, that's the issue of wine versus blood. Chalav kedei gemia. So we said that the amount of milk that you chayiv for hotzah on Shabbos is a gulp of milk. So you buy lu kedei gemia with an aleph or kedei gemia with an ayin. How do you spell this word? Is it with an aleph or is it with an ayin? In Maseches Megillah in Daf Chav Dalin Beis, it says that the anshe beis shana beis chifa hayukorin la alfin ayinin. That some people who weren't so precise in their pronunciation of the Hebrew language would mispronounce. They would pronounce aleph and ayin the way we do. You know, except for there are certain svarim that are careful, that they'll pronounce aleph and ayin differently. But you see where the confusion could come from. They just heard the words. Is it gemia or gemia with an aleph or with an ayin? Because when you hear it bal peh, it's very hard to know. Now the ayin is supposed to be a little more guttural. It's supposed to come more from the throat. Whereas the aleph is the way, probably more the way we pronounce it. But anyway, that was the shayla. So Rav Nachum Reitzcha, he's going to ask four questions about spellings of alephs and ayins. That's the first word he asks about. So Rav Nachum Reitzcha, hagmieni namat mayim ikadech. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Hagmieni is spelled with an aleph. So you see that it's an aleph. Ibayilahu, so next shayla with relating to aleph ayin, garinin o garinin, aleph or ayin. So Amar Rava bar Ula, v'nigra me'erkecha. So it says v'nigra me'erkecha with an ayin. So that's how we know that it's dafka, got to be with an ayin. In the Tshuvas Doviv Misharim, he brings from here, Rashi over here says garinin, meaning what's the connection that garin with v'nigra me'erkecha with an erech to deduct from the erech value. So he says the garinin, and the seeds are something that you throw out from the food. So the Radak writes, the Gefena Meshubach is a shurak u'motzia navim tovim ki ba'anav lo yimtza chartzan. He says the best type of Gefen is the seedless kind, the kind that doesn't have any sediment of any seeds or anything. So in Tshuvas Dovim Yisharim, Chelek Alef Simni Alef, Koron Shor Mitzan Balach over here, he quotes that you could explain the Gemara over here, that that's why we're poshate this shayla of Harispel Garinin from the Lashon V'nigra Me'erkecha, because al yedei the Garinin, the pre is nigra, makes the pre worse, and it's not as high a value. It's like as it would be if it were seedless. So the nigra me'erkecha, it takes away from the value. We're literally quoting a pasuk that describes what the garin does, what the seed does. It's nigra me'erkecha. It takes away from the value of the actual seed. Okay, third one. Ibailu. Omamos. Omamos. Aleph Ra'ayin. Amar Yitzhak Dimi. Arazim lo. Amamuhu. Began Elokim with an ayin. Ibailu. The fourth one. Ma'amtsin tanan. O ma'amtsin. Again, Aleph Ra'ayin. Amar Bechia Barabba. Amar Rabbi Nassan. Va'otzim ein of Mira Ospira. With an ayin. So you see that it's with an ayin. Tan Rabbanan. Amotzi chalav shal behema kadegamia. Chalav shal isha veloben shal beitza. Kde litin b'mashifa. That the amount of milk that you, if it's animal milk, it's kadegamia. That you chai for is a gulp full of milk, but when we're talking about chalav shel isha, a human milk or loven shel beitza, the white of an egg, so then it's kedei litin b'mashifa. Then it's kedei, it's the amount that you would put to rub on. So for an ointment. So kilor kedei lashof b'mayim. The amount of kilor you would need is the amount that you would mix with water to produce medicine. By ravashi kedei shifa kedei achiza b'shifa. When we say the amount you need to rub on to the eyes for the applicator, does that mean the amount that you need to just to actually end up on your eye, or the amount that will end up in your hand when you're putting it on your eye also? So the amount you would need to actually apply it is a little more than the amount that actually ends up on your eye, because some of it ends up on your hand. So which shear is it? Teku, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. Okay. Devash k'dei liten al kasas. So he said, how much honey are you chayef for carrying out? The amount that you would put on a wound. So tanu k'dei liten al pi kasas, on the mouth of a wound. By Ravashi al kasas apuma de kula kasas, adilma morsha kama de kasas. Does it have to be the mouth of the entire wound, or maybe just the highest point of the wound? Lafuke hudarna de lo. So teku, the Gemara again leaves that also unresolved. Everything Hashem created in this world, there's nothing He created for no reason. Bara shivla lekasas. He created a snail with a shell because it helps for a wound. Zvuv letzira. He created a zvuv, a certain type of insect, for a tzira, for a wasp bite. It helps helps cure it. Yatush lenachash. A gnat for a snake bite. V'nachash lechafafis. And a snake lechafafis for a sore. V'samam la akra, then a spider for an akra, for a scorpion. Hechi avadai. So what do? Maisi chada uchma v'chada chiver. You bring one black one and one white one. V'shalki luhu, and you cook them v'shayfilei, and then you rub it on, and that way it has medicinal value. Will help to cure the akitzas akra, or whatever it is, the bite that you have. Tan Rabban, Chamisha Emos Hein, Emas Chalash Al Gibor. There are five types of fear where the weaker thing, where the stronger thing fears the weaker thing, where it seems odd that something so much bigger is fearful of something so much smaller. And they are as follows. Emas Mafgia Alari, the fear that a Mafgia has on an ari, on a lion. Mafkia Rash says is chaya katana, the kola gadol. It's a tiny little creature, but it makes a loud noise, so it scares the lion. So even though the lion is so big and powerful, this tiny little creature has the ability to scare the lion. Just on I didn't mention, when we talk about these tiny little creatures of Zilberstein's Shaila for related to Yotush. Actually, we'll just say in a second. Amos Yatush al appeal, the fear of a little insect, of a gnat on an elephant, because it can annoy the elephant, so the elephant's a little bit scared of it, right? It goes into the elephant's nose, Rashi says, so it drives him nuts. Amos Amamis ala akrav, the spider is the scorpion is afraid of the spider. Amos Sanvanis ala nesher, the eagle is afraid of the swallow. And Amos Kilvis ala vyasan, a little sheretz called the kilvis is the leviathan, the giant fish. The leviathan is scared of the kilvis. So Zilberstein's shaila is whether a person who's very annoyed by these little bugs, even though he's much stronger than these little bugs, but bugs are very, very annoying. And he bought one of those zappers. Can he make a bracha v'atov v'ametiv when he buys a zapper because he's so excited that he finally could zap all of his bugs? So he quotes the Ramban, or Chaim Reish Chav Gimel, Yesh Mishakas of Shein Lomar, Tivla v'tischadesh al menalim abogadam anasim e'or shal behema. The Ramah quotes a day in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to tell someone tischadesh when he buys something made out of animal hides, like a leather jacket or leather shoes, because an animal had to die for it. So even though you're allowed to make them and you're allowed to use them, but it takes away a little bit of the simcha that the brios of HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to die for it. So it's not quite like PETA, you know, we're not running advertisements that we should rather kill people than kill animals or whatever, but but the idea is that there's a little bit of the simcha is taken away, and then the Rama says hinei hatam cholish ma'od ve'eno nira, that reason is a very shvach reason. I don't think that's a good reason, but at least he quotes such a daya in Shulchan Aruch, that Kodesh Baruch Hu's rachma v'al kol ma'asav. Amar Rav Yudah Rav Mikra Mikra, what's the pasuk? Hamavlik shud al eiz, that he grants the fear over the strong al oz, not eiz, al oz, over a powerful one. The fear of something that's weaker is granted over something that's more powerful. Rabbi Zera Ashkach Rabbi Yehuda Davakoye Apischa de Bechamua. Rabbi Zera found that Rabbi Yehuda was standing by the doorway of Bechamua of his father-in-law. V'chazi David Bedicha Daite, and he saw that Rabbi Yehuda was in a very jovial mood. So he figured V'yibayim Minei Kol Chalalei Alma Hava Amrle. You could ask him any ridiculous question, and Rabbi Yehuda was in one of those moods where he won't get annoyed, he'll just answer whatever ridiculous question he had. It reminds me, Rav Lichtenstein said that about Rav Soloveitchik, that after Yom Kippur, he was always in one of those moods where you could ask him anything in the world. It was the happiest day of his life. Right after Yom Kippur, he was always so, so happy. That's the kind of experience he had in Yom Kippur. So anyway, so he saw that he was just super happy, so he figured he'd ask him sorts of questions that might have otherwise annoyed him on a regular day. So he asked him as follows, Amalei, my time easy miskan b'resha v'hadar imri. He says, why is it that goats go first and then the sheep follow behind the goats? Amalei, ke b'riyaso shalolam, de b'resha chashucha v'hadar nuhura. That's b'riyaso shalolam, that first we have choshech and then we have light. So the goats are dark, the goats come first, the sheep are white, and therefore the sheep come later. That's a symbol of b'riyaso shalolam. So that's the question, is there such a din that we're supposed to be makdim choshech, we're supposed to be makdim that which is dark to that which is white? And they say Rav Aaron Cutler used to tell a maisa about Rav Meshulam Igra, that when he first met his in-laws, he went to their house and they brought a black coffee and they put a little cup of milk and a little thing of sugar next to him, and he grew up so poor, he had never seen milk, he had never seen sugar, he had never seen coffee. He didn't know, he must have seen milk, but he had no idea what he was supposed to do with this combination of different things. So he was thinking there's kedima issues of a bracha. He's obviously supposed to eat one, then the other, then the other. So first comes the food, so he ate the sugar first, because that's Michael comes before a mashke. They said, which mashke comes first, the white one or the black one? So he said, the Gemara in Shabbos, Tafayin Zayin and Beis, that the black comes first, then the white. So he had the black coffee, and then he drank up the milk. That's the mice that they tell him, Meshulam Igra. But there's the idea over here is that it's an issue of it's supposed to be symbolic of Briyaso Shalolam. So Rav Zilberstein points out that in the Maseches Krisus, it tells us, Kvasim Konmen Le'izim B'Kol Makom, Yachol Neshem Uvcharim. Whenever the Torah tells us about Kvasim and Isim, it mentions the sheep first and then the goat. You might think because the sheep is better, Tamlovim Keves Karbono. So the Pasuk says, no, it's not because it's better. So he says, Tzarech Bir. Says Rav Zilberstein, I don't understand. So why does the Torah most of the place say the kevis before the eis, say the sheep before the goat? So he says, maybe based on our Gemara, the answer is clear. That in general, why do we say that the goat goes first? Because a Laila comes first and then Yom. Yeah, Hayom Holech Achar Laila, that's the way the Jewish calendar works. Except where? Except in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's HaLaila Holech Achar Yom. In the Beis HaMikdash, the order is reversed. Right? The days, the way they work, when you have a carbon that could be Nechal for one day, it means it could be eaten that day and the following night. HaLaila Holech Achar Yom. So all the times the Torah mentions the different types of animals, it's talking about Karbanos. So when it talks about Karbanos, it's going to put it in the order where the Yom comes, the white comes first, and then the dark. It's Keves, and then Eiz, as opposed to over here, where we're talking about Briyaso Shalolam in Derechul, in general. Okay, Maitai Mahani Mechassin Mahani Megalian. So again, the second question he asked him is that why is it that that sheep have tails that cover their private parts and goats don't? So Hani Demechassinon Minayhu Mechassian. Those that we produce wool from and that we cover ourselves with, so they are covered up themselves. Those that we don't make clothing out of, they remain exposed. They don't cover us, so they're not covered themselves. Third question, my time Gamla Zutar Gunufte, why is it that the tail of a camel is so small, such a big animal, such a tiny tail? Mishum da'achal kisi, because he eats thorns and his tail would get stuck in the thorns if he had a bushy tail. My time Matura Aricha Gunufte, why is it that an ox has a long tail? Mishum da'ir ba'agmi, because he lives in the swamps, uba'i alerkushe baki, and he needs the tail to chase away all sorts of different gnats. My time Akarna de'kamtsu rechicha, why is the horn or the antenna of the locust soft? Mishum dedayru bechilfi, because you live amongst willows. V'kasha nadya umesavra, and if it were hard, it would get caught in and it would blind him. Damar Shmuel, hayman debayde lismi lekamtsu lishlofinu lekarni, because if you want to blind a wasp, you should take off you should take away its antenna, locust. You should take away its antenna. Sixth question he asked him: My taima, hai timra, to tarnagolta, madli le'elo. Why is it that the lower eyelid of the tarnagolas closes upward? Normally, it's the upper eyelid that closes downward. Why is the lower eyelid closes upward? So the dairi adapi, because it lives on top of boards, the ayil kitrum is avra, and then very often there's smoke underneath it that's coming up. So the smoke would blind it if it didn't have something covering it from underneath. So that's why Hashem made its eyes in that way. Those are the six questions that he asked him. Now he's going to get into etymology of different words, how certain words got their names. So dasha is a threshold of a house. Why is it called dasha? Derech sham. It's a combination of the words derech sham. That's the way to go there, is dasha. Darga is a ladder or a step. Derech gag, it's a way to go up to a roof. Matchulisa, a dip, is a ketchup type of a dip. Masai tichle da, it's when will this be finished? Because dips are eaten very slowly. They don't. You don't eat a whole bunch at a time. Or it could just be that dip is generally eaten, Rashi points out, as an appetizer. So you're like, come on, when are the dips going to be over? And when are we going to get to the main meal already? When's this going to be done already? Besa, bave esav ba. Besa, a house, is bave esav ba. Come, let's sit in it. That's what a house is. Biksa, beakasa. A biksa means a narrow area. Kuft, meaning it's a narrow house, right? Not a regular bias. This might have ramifications in halacha. Rashi says it's a bias tzar v'katan. The Mishnah Ksubas and Daf Nun Beis says that the nusach of a ksuba is at tehe yasva bebesi kol yimei megar al menusayich, that a husband writes to his wife that if I die, you have to be allowed to live in my house until the yorshim pay off your ksuba. So the Gemara over there in Nandala Ramaral says, because the nusach is bebesi and not bibikasi, so we die. And that if it's a very tiny house, the Yorshim can say, get out of here, we can't have you here. It's Ate Yasva Bebesi, Velo Bebikasi. It has to be that there's enough room for her. If there isn't enough room for her, then the Yorshim do not have to allow her to stay in the house. Kufta, Kuf Vitiv. Kufta is a kli that you would turn upside down to sit on. So kuf vitiv, turn it upside down, we'll sit on it. Rashi has three interpretations of exactly what it is, but okay. Livni, bricks, livnei bani. It's called bricks because you leave it for the grandchildren, meaning it's very sturdy, and you build a brick house, it will still be there for your grandchildren. Hutza, chatzitza. Hutza is just means a partition, any sort of minor partition, because that's the cheapest type of partition you can make, like it says in the first Mishnah of Basra. Chatzva, a shrub, shechotziv mayim in anar, that it takes water from the river. Kuza, a klicheres, is kazeh. It's it's like a kolshehu. It's like nothing, no big deal. Shutisa, shtusa. A shutisa is a hadas branch that used to be the minig, is that there would be merakid defnei akala. They would dance in front of the kala with a hadas branch. So it's shtusa. It makes you look like an idiot, but that's okay because you're dancing in front of chasan and kala. You're allowed to look like a davar shtus. That's what the Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Yud Zayin. The Rav Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda would be merakid defnei akala with a bad hadas, and Rabbi Zera said kumichsef on saba. Look at this old man, he's embarrassing us, he's embarrassing himself, embarrassing all the Rabbanim, that he's mezalz in the cover of Tamid Chacham, that he's knowing like this. So, and then they said, that when he died, so a pillar of fire came out. So they said that, so Rabbi Zera finally said, that his shtus helped him, meaning he was obviously had very great suchus because of the shtus. Meshichla, a large wash basin, mashkula, it means that it washes everything. That's how it got the name. Mashkilta, small wash basin. Mashikalta, it's a special washing for a kala. It's a fancy wash basin. Asisa, mortar. Chasirta, is that it will make something chaser. It will, it's lacking, or it's chaser, it's not hollowed out on the inside. Buchna, club, bova, akena. We'll go and we'll hit something with it. Levusha, lo busha. Levusha, clothing is lo busha, so you won't be embarrassed because you'll be clothed. Glima, shenasabo kagolem. Glima is a certain type of cloak that you're like a golem, meaning it takes away any shapeliness of a person. You can't see the shape at all of a person's body when they wear this type of cloak. It just sort of like hangs down. Galusa, a type of long cloak, gali ve'esiv, like a person wears a beksha and he rolls it up first to sit down. So he first reveals whatever's underneath it before he sits down because he's got to roll it up in order to sit down. Purya, a bed, why is it called a purya? Sheparin v'ravin aleha, because that's where pururavu is done, on a bed. Bor zinka, a dried up pit, bor ze naki. It's our way of saying that this pit is clean. Sudra, soda shem lirev. Sudra is a symbolic of soda shem lirev, because a Talmud Chacham wears a sudra. Sudra is a special turban around his head. Talmud Chacham wears one, so it's a symbol of soda shem lirev. Apadna, a porch of a king's palace, is a pischadin. That's where you need to go. That's the Pesach that everybody needs to go. Whatever reason you're visiting the king, everyone's got to go through the front door. Tanraban, shlosha calls manchmaskinin, mosifim gvura. There are three things that as long as they get older, they become stronger and stronger. Veluhain, dug v'nachash v'chazir. And they are a fish, a snake, and a chazir. Rav Zilberstein had a shayla. Someone bought tropical fish, and he noticed that when they were getting older, they started to die. They weren't getting stronger, they were getting weaker, and he wanted to claim mekachtos. So he said, no, you can't claim mekachtos, because what's the vart? Why dug v'nachash v'chazir? All of these things, when they get older, they get stronger, even though they eat garbage. The chazir mamish eats garbage. The nachash eats the dirt. All the dog eats whatever is available in the ocean. They eat nothing. So the point is that you think gashmius is going to get you to live a long life. Living a life of gashmi is not going to make you live a long life. That's the message. And tropical fish need very specialized kind of food. So he said you could expect them to die much earlier. Okay.